Being a parent, obviously, not easy. A lot of changes happen, and it's a challenge for anybody brave enough to take on the job. And, you know, if you're not a parent today, listen, it's not like this doesn't have something to say to you, because this applies when it comes to your relationship with God as your father and you're his child. And so, feel free to take the principles if, you're not a parent, that these things still apply to your life. So title of my message is Connecting When Correcting Your Children. And so we'll start with Hebrews chapter 12. There in verse 4, you have not resisted yet to bloodshed, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seems best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless, or afterward rather, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. You see, God has called us to be those who chasten, obviously, our children. And we have looked at this in our time together thus far. And as we've looked at, raising our children in the way of the Lord, I mean, we've looked at how important it is to begin by loving them and by touching them and giving them hugs and blessing them and comforting them and of course by listening to them and praying for them and then by lifting them, by encouraging them, by putting limits in place and then leading them by example to behave as honorable, respectful parents. Sometimes parents want respect, but they don't give respect. Listen, you can't treat your child like, just a subclass human being and say, hey, you, get over here. You should not talk to your child any different than you talk to me. Understand that? It's a lesson that I had to learn because I didn't realize that. My dad, God bless him, best example, he's trying to do the best he can. And many of you have had parents in the same way. I'm not villainizing them. But when you, as a Christian, say, hey, get over here right now. You hear what I said? How many of you would talk to one of your friends that way? No, you wouldn't do that. Guess what? We're not supposed to do that to our children either. They deserve to be asked properly. Honey, could you please do this for Dad, for Mommy? Could you please get in here? Hey, could you please put this in your room for me? That's the kind of respect and courtesy that we should show them. And that's the kind of respect, of course, that we are training them to respond and how we are training them to respond to us. But what we see here is God as the Father disciplines his children. We see the reason for that is to get rid of the folly, to deal with them, to get them on track, you see. We see here from our text that this discipline is unpleasant initially, but leads to pleasantness ultimately. In other words, God is thinking for the long-term benefit of his children. And we are told that fathers and mothers, we as parents, are supposed to behave the same way that God does. We are to think of the long-term benefit of our children. And we are not to raise them, listen to this, pay attention to this, the way we've been raised. That's the thing we need to be careful of. You see, because here's the deal. With our parents, as well intentioned, as good as they were, we picked up their strengths by just being there, but we also picked up their sin. And we need to be careful that we don't say, well, the reason I'm doing this is because this is what my dad did to me, and so this is the way we're going to do it. And thus you have fights in the marriage. Why? Because one came from one background, the other comes from another background, so you disagree on discipline, so now you got problems there, and the kids love to take advantage of that stuff. They'll pit you one against the other because all they have to do all day long is try and figure out how to get their way. You see, they don't have bills to pay or anything like that. They just, who's the weakest? How can I weasel my way in here? And you see, that's where we need to be together. So how do we get there? Well, we go to God, who is our Father in heaven, say, God, you know these kids better than I do. You created them. Not only did you create them, you created them with plan and purpose, and you gave them to me. So I need to take my cues, you see, my direction, my instruction, not from the psychologist, not from the society, but I need to take my instruction from God. That's why we read the Word of God. That's why we are taking time here to look at how God would have us raise these children. And one of the first things we need to realize is every child is born in sin. They don't learn to sin. They don't learn to sin. They're born in sin. In fact, you know what? Thank God they're born babies. Because if you've been a mom for any amount of time with one of those little babies, you've seen it. You've seen that temper tantrum and that holding their breath crying because you won't pick them up and you put them down and they don't want to be put down. They want to be held and they're changed and they're fed and they're not in pain and you know it and they're fine and laughing and cooing when you have them in your arms and you put them down to go to bed and they unleash terror. And if they were strong enough and big enough, they'd tear that crib apart and get out of there, and who knows what they'd do. They're born little sinners, manipulators. I know you're going, oh, they're so sweet. They're sweet. But they're sinners. You need to remember that. You see, they're born with a problem. That's why the Bible says that the rod of reproof will drive, it says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child there in Proverbs like we read last week. But the rod of correction will drive it afar from their heart. And there's one preacher I heard saying, I intend to drive it a good way. That folly is bound there. They're born. They're not born with wisdom in their heart. They're born with folly. And any parenting strategy that believes that children are born good and all they need is just a little bit more nurturing and love and their self-esteem built, just let them actualize their potential. That's how prisons are filled. It's exactly how prisons are filled. We get these wicked kids and we just love them until they actualize their evil. And then we can't afford all of the penitentiary that we need to house them with how we've dealt with them. The Bible begins basically by saying that discipline leads to self-discipline. As parents, we discipline as God does for sin and rebellion. I want you to note that right out of the chute here. We discipline for sin and rebellion. We don't discipline for mistakes. We don't discipline for accidents. We don't discipline for ignorance, okay? We discipline for willful, sinful rebellion. In other words, Johnny spills his glass of milk. Johnny drops his sandwich, gets it all muddy. It may be inconvenient. We don't like it. But we don't spank him for an accident. Okay? Even if it gets all over your clothes when he spills the milk in the restaurant. It was an accident. We don't yell at him. We don't get upset with him. Okay? Because it was an accident. Now, if Johnny spilt the milk because at the dinner table he got up on the table while you were out in the kitchen and began dancing and kicked it over in the process, and Johnny knows he's not supposed to be on the table, guess what? Now we discipline. Because he knows better. We know that he knows better. And many times the look on his face when we get in there, or when he spills the milk, he realizes, I'm in trouble. You see, that's rebellion against what he knows to be the case. And that's important, that they are clearly in rebellion and they know that what they've done is wrong. And so how old do you spank when they know better? And listen, they're pretty young when they know better. Sometimes they can't talk and you think they don't understand. Oh, no. They understand. Have you ever talked to somebody that doesn't speak the language, but they understand? You can get your point across. You know that they understand. You can tell they understand. There may be some stuff they don't understand, but you can tell they understand. Kids, the same way. When you know that they know better, and they've just rebelled against what they know to be the right thing to do, then guess what? Discipline is what we are to get involved in. And that's the way it is. Now, a few things when it comes to discipline, about discipline. Number one, we need to discipline whenever we are spanking. Remember last week I talked about the spanking, to spank or not to spank. If you weren't here for that, you need to get that first, because that kind of preps you for all of what I'm talking about today, because I'm going to talk about how to spank. But do we spank or don't we spank? And of course, we looked at the scripture. We looked at many of them, but one of them was Proverbs 19, verse 18, where it says, discipline your children while there is hope, otherwise you will ruin their lives. And of course, the Bible, the verse I just brought, the rod of reproof will drive the foolishness far from the heart of the child. So this idea of spanking is thought of by the world is barbaric and violent and wrong and abuse. And I talked last week, just because somebody uses a tool wrong, and the rod is a tool for discipline, just because somebody misuses a tool doesn't mean you throw the tool out. It means that you need to teach them how to properly use the tool, to use it in the right way, with the right safety precautions, for the right purpose. And so that's what we are going to look at here today. How do we discipline? How do we, when it comes to spanking, how we spank our children, and how is it to be loving? Because I know there's a lot of people now, even among the Christians, that go, well, I know what those scriptures say, but they don't really mean what they say. But you know what? That's not true. Just because it doesn't fit what you think or the scholars have studied. Listen, God's word is God's word. And if I'm any kind of Christian, if I'm any kind of pastor, if I'm going to give you the whole counsel of God, you're going to get the whole counsel of God. And I read the last night while I was looking and preparing for this, that there's a guy somewhere in one of the states that's in jail for teaching on spanking a pastor. I realize that, even quote-unquote Christians, and I believe Christians, they are Christians. There are Christians who say, well, this is wrong. But give me a Bible and verse that says that. See, I don't see it. I see that spanking is useful. It's not the first place to go. But it is a proper and fitting when we are dealing with our children. So how do we do this thing rightly? How do we do this thing that, well, many do abuse their children in spanking them? Many come and they're violent and they're hostile when they spank, and that is wrong. How do we do it rightly? Well, number one, we must discipline in God's loving authority. You see, as parents, we must constantly remind ourselves that we possess authority that was given to us by God. It's not your own right. It's not your own authority. It's not, listen, and I've said this before jokingly, and I'm sure you've said it, maybe sometimes jokingly, maybe sometimes reality. Hey, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. God brought them. You didn't. And you have no authority to take them out. Okay, you have authority to discipline them, but you have no authority to take them out. Listen, there's a little bit of tyrant, isn't there, in every one of us, and we must be careful to keep that in check. Even in our inability to control certain circumstances or to deal with certain frustrations, we need to be careful we don't take them out on our children. Dads, when you've had a bad day at work and the boss has been on you all day and been after you and been, you know, kind of abusive and mouthy to you, and you come home and your wife goes, honey, Johnny just broke this, and you know what? He needs a spank. You go, all right, come here. I can't wait to spank him. I'm so mad today. Come here. You're a problem too. That boss is a problem. Life is a problem. You're getting it, dude. See, that's wrong. And that's abuse. And that's what leads to abuse. It's that kind of action. It's that kind of attitude that leads to abuse. You don't wreak vengeance on your child. The attitude is also wrong when you say, you know, hey, when I say jump, you better say how high, dude. That may be okay in the army, or the military. It's not biblical loving authority. That is not what God has for our children and for our family. You see, our authority is exercised for the purpose of bringing them in obedience to God's word. What our children need to be aware of is what we are doing is being done because God commands it. It is God-given instruction for us. In other words, we are not merely to encourage our children to obey because I say so, but to obey because God's word says, children, obey your parents. How often we fail to use biblical and to model biblical correction, in that we use the rod, but we don't use the word reproof. Listen, it's not biblical discipline for us to slap our children and say, don't do that anymore. It's only true biblical discipline when we bring the word of God to bear upon them, and the rod then accompanies the reproof from God's word. Why should I obey mom, dad? Well, son, I'm glad you asked. Daughter, because Ephesians chapter 4 or chapter 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why should I obey him? It's right. God commands it. All right? And listen, if you honor your father and mother with obedience and being a godly example, then guess what? There's a promise attached to that. Your days may be long on the earth, and that it may be well with you. That's the first commandment, the Bible says, with a promise. He reminds us there that God is the one who gave the command. And for those children who will submit themselves to it and obey, there's a promise linked to that. But how often, isn't it true, we fail when we discipline our children and fail to apply the word of God for the correction, thus not biblically dealing with them. I mean, you say your children are bickering and fighting with one another, saying unkind and cutting things one to another. What do you do? How do you deal with it? It's not easy to follow biblical discipline. It takes time. Guess what else it takes? Bible study and memory. Because if they're bickering and fighting, you know, the temptation is to say, hey, why don't you guys just chill out, man? Knock that stuff off. Why can't you guys be nice to each other? Or why can't we all get along? Or just go to your rooms. Really? Is that corrective? No, you're failing. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to tell them, hey, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, sweetie, that you guys are to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You guys are not treating each other kindly. The Bible also says a soft answer turns away wrath. The way you just answered your sister was harsh and mean and hostile. And you know what? You need to deal with that. Let me pray for you right now that God will help you. And then if they continue, guess what? Now you say, and didn't mommy tell you that you're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted? Didn't she tell you that you're not to, you know, answer harshly and rashly? And guess what? You didn't listen. And God's word gives you instruction there. And because you didn't listen, guess what, man? You're in trouble. You're in big trouble. You see, taking time to explain exactly why you're disciplining them and whose authority. You see, if you don't bring the word to bear on their brains, then you better not bring the belt or the rod to bear on their bottoms. Because there's no reproof, there's no instruction, there's no teaching if you're not bringing the word to bear on their hearts. The time of spanking is to be a time of training and teaching. That's what we're doing. And not a time of slapping and hitting. When perhaps, I hate to say this, but today it's true, kicking your children. You shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. Your discipline is to be administered in the context of love. Not out of anger or frustration. Demonstrating the mercies and the grace. Doing it in a loving way. Not harshly. Not full of hostility. When you spank them, you should pray for them. That they might understand the word of God and that God might help them by his spirit to obey him, that the conviction of his spirit would stop them before they step out of line. You see, we need to teach them to walk correctly, not only to submit to God's authority or do so in God's authority, but to walk correctly. You see, that's what the writer here of Hebrews is saying. The whole point here is to get them to be in a place of obedience and to get them on course. And it says here in verse 12, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down. Therefore, whenever you find out what it's there for, well, he's referring to the discipline that he just talked about, the chase of the Lord. He wants to strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated but rather healed. You see, what God is doing is he's saying, hey, you get chastened because you stray off the path and you trip on stuff and you hurt yourself and God is seeking to get you back on the straight and narrow, if you would, to that you may walk properly, that you may not get hurt and lame and that you may be healed and walk a course that is going to be blessing not only to you personally but to those around you, that it might bring God glory. You see, God does not discipline us, in other words, to punish us, but rather that he might keep those limbs that are weak from becoming disjointed, that they might be healed. So his discipline is corrective towards his children, not vengeful or violent, not punishing us for the sins that we have committed. Jesus already took that on the cross, didn't he? He's correcting us, wanting to just get us and move us out of danger. You see, that's what happened to the guy. You remember 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the guy, I hate to say this, but and it shows you that sin is sin and there's nothing new. But there was a guy way back then in the church in Corinth that Paul was writing the letter of 1 Corinthians to, a guy who was actually a son that was sleeping with his stepmother. Can you believe that? And the church was going, oh man, we're all about love, dude. Come on in, man. You shouldn't be doing that, but we love you and just love you and praying for you and all. And Paul said, what are you doing? This guy, knowing that it's wrong, knowing that it's sin, is in open rebellion, sleeping with his stepmom, you know, his father's wife. And you guys are going, well, we're just all about love here, you know. You know what? You guys need to change. He needs to be disciplined. So he tells them what to do. You've warned him. You've talked to him. So guess what? Now it's time for you to say bye-bye to him. You're no longer welcome at this church. We're not going to hang out with you. We're going to pray for you, but we're not going to hang with you because you are living in rebellion and disobedience to the clear teaching of God's word. So we're done. Now, what's the purpose? Well, we read to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. In verse 5 there of 1 Corinthians 5, it says, that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. What are they doing? Giving him a little taste of hell, just a little foretaste of hell, in order that he might come back and long for heaven. How so? Well, what is hell? It's separation from God. It's separation from God's love and God's people, right? So he's saying, get him out of the church, disfellowship him, don't hang out with this guy. And then when he experiences the inability to come in and be with God's people and the response of God's love to him through the body of Christ, then maybe he'll get a little taste of what being without God and without God's family is like and God's peace. And then he'll repent and come back. Give him a little taste of the consequence that he might come to Christ. That he might get back and get right and submit and be obedient. You see, that's the key. There's a difference between punishment and discipline. And the purpose is the real difference, the motive. While both a punishment and discipline cause grief, pain, and sorrow, in punishment, there's no hope. In discipline, the whole purpose is to bring correction. And that's important for us as parents to remember. Far too often, we lash out at our children and take the rod to them because they have embarrassed us or hurt us or, you know, made us look bad. And our concern in those times as a result is not one of correction, but it's to make them suffer. Oh, man, you embarrassed me in front of them. I'm making you pay for that. Because you made me suffer, guess what? I'm going to make you suffer. That is completely wrong. And that is abusive. May God help us, because we've all probably done that at one time or another, and forgive us when we seek to turn the authority that God has given us to correct into a license for abuse. We don't have that right. Listen, any discipline that we exercise as parents, we have a responsibility to control the atmosphere of the spanking and to demonstrate in that a love and a warmth that is required for the discipline to be biblical. And that's why it's important that we bring the scripture to bear on the situation. Let me give you an example. Your children disobey. One of them disobeys. They do something that, you know, they know they're not supposed to do. And of course, they do it. They stole something from, you know, a store and you didn't see them, but they got it away with it. And maybe it was only a pencil or whatever. And so you get home and, hey, where'd you get that? I took it. You took it. What do you mean? Where'd you take it from? The store. You mean you stole it? No, I was just borrowing it. I was going to give it back. No, you stole it.
I know.
Now, they've got to be clear that they understand that stealing is wrong before you take action here, okay? If they really honestly don't know, sometimes they act like they don't know, but they do know, and you know they know. And so when they know, you say, okay, you stole this pencil. You're going to get a spanking. So what I've always done is sometimes, just for a couple reasons, I send them into their room first for a minute in case I'm angry. Have you ever been angry and wanted to spank your kids when you're angry? And I know that if I'm ever angry and want to spank them, if I want to spank them, I don't. See, the first thing that tells me don't is if I feel I can't wait to spank. If I'm getting excited about spanking them, I know that abuse is what that's called. So I've learned to say, go up to your room. I'll be up there in a minute. Don't leave them up there for an extended period of time. But just kind of got to be the habit. And we have live in a two-story. So I'll send them up to their room and I'll stay down. And I'll go into my room sometimes if I'm really a little bit in the hostile side and I feel vengeful. I'll go, okay, God, I need help. You know, I don't want to go in there and unload on them. And then the second thing I do to keep me from that is when I arrive in the room, I sit down on the bed. Okay? And I've done this almost every time. I'll sit there. And I'll then ask them, do you know why you're getting a spanking? I think it's important. Say, man, this is sound like it's taking a lot of time already. Yeah, it takes time to lovingly discipline your children. You need to really be willing, and you can't be lazy. A lot of problem today is a lot of parents are just lazy and don't want to deal with it. So they wait till they get angry. The kid pushes, and is disobedient. And then they break something. And then they finally get angry, and the parent unleashes on them, and that's called abuse. See, biblical discipline doesn't look like that. I sit down on the bed. I sit next to them, and I say, do you know what you did wrong? Most of the time, they know. Sometimes they act like they don't know. So they say, no. You don't know what you did wrong? Think about it. Sometimes I'll give me a little space to think about it. Well, it might be Maybe, okay, yeah, it is. Maybe you stole that pencil and you shouldn't have. Yeah, maybe. Come on. You know I know better than that. And you know that that's wrong, right? Yes. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Do you know what that means? Yes, I shouldn't steal. Okay. But you did. So now what's daddy have to do because you stole? What's the Bible say that daddy has to do? Spank me? That's right. Daddy's not angry at you. Daddy loves you. And daddy wants the best for you. So daddy's going to do what God calls him to do. He's going to spank you. Okay. How many swats? I don't know. And you really don't. I mean, you really don't. Because you see, the purpose of biblical discipline is to get them to walk correctly, but it needs to bring pain physically, right? In fact, it says here that there's no discipline, when it's talking about God's discipline for us, that seems to bring joy, but it brings grief initially, but afterwards yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness, you see. So, listen, if the discipline doesn't cause them pain and grief, then it is not biblical discipline. And you know as well as I do, every child has a different pain tolerance. If you have multiple children, you know this, right? One child, you barely touch them, and they're truly broken. And you can tell, they're not just faking it, there's fakers. Watch out for them. But there are children that are truly broken. I have five, so I know, I've seen it all. And some of my children just two swats, you know, and boom, I feel so. In fact, before I even spank them, almost they're sorry, and they're truly sorry. And you can tell. There's other children, I have one at least, who two swats? That's a joke. In fact, I'll never forget one of mine, one of the boys. I have three of them, so you don't know which one. But I remember his grandma was over, my mother-in-law, and he was acting up and being disobedient. So I told him, I said, listen, you do that again and you're going to get a spanking, son. Now you know, daddy's asked you not to do that. And he was a little testy, I think, because grandma was around. And grandma tends to, I don't know what happens to grandmas. I've said this before in grandpas, and that don't support their own children when they're raising their children by way of discipline to me is you know what? That's whacked out, grandpas, grandmas. And I'm one, and I know the tendency. But we shouldn't do that. We need to support them, even if we don't agree with them. Okay? Because you'll make a mess if you don't. And you can talk to them privately about it, but sometimes you don't need to. In fact, I'd encourage you not to, unless it is an abusive situation. Then you definitely need to. But you need to be careful that you don't create this kind of, well, grandma loves me and treats me nice and gives me things, and then my parents, they don't, you see. And grandma tells them not to do this, and you could tell by her attitude she doesn't want them to do this. And so you plead, and then you see this, please, grandma, don't let them do this, please, you know. And that's the way this one son was behaving. But I took him upstairs and I spanked him. Maybe a little bit easier than normal. But, you know, all of us hate to spank our children if we have the right attitude. And so then he goes back down and stairs, and then I, you know, put the belt away, and then I come back downstairs, and I hear him saying to his grandma, "That didn't really hurt. I was crying, but it didn't really hurt." And I heard him, and he looked around, he saw me, and I go, "Okay, well, guess what? It's going to now." And of course, Grandma goes, "No, Dennis, please don't." "No, he, you know what? It didn't really hurt. It wasn't effective. I'm going to take him back up and make sure it hurts. I'm not going to abuse him. I'm not mad at him still." But you know what? If your spanking is something that doesn't cause grief and pain, then it's useless. And you're going to discourage your son, your daughter. It has to cause that. You see, in Acts chapter 5, God was beginning the church there, and it was being established, and there was a couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira who were called before Peter for lying, trying to make them look like, they tried to make it look like they were giving everything that they had, but really they were withholding money for themselves, but they wanted everybody to think that they were giving all their profit from selling their land to the church and to be thought of as generous and sacrificial. But you see, God knew they were holding back. And so what happened? Well, Ananias and Sapphira ended up dead. Why? Because God wanted the church to learn a lesson. What was that lesson? You shouldn't be lying. You shouldn't be lying to God. You shouldn't be lying to Peter. You shouldn't be lying to those that are in authority over you. He wanted them to learn that lesson. That's not say Ananias and Sapphira are in hell, but discipline, heavy duty at this point. And guess what happened? The result? The Bible says there in Acts 5, fear came upon the whole church. If your son or your daughter, they shouldn't be afeared of vengeance. Afeared? Did I just say afeared?
They shouldn't be afeared, dang it, of vengeance.
No, they shouldn't be afraid of vengeance. They shouldn't be afraid that you're going to explode or go off at any minute, but they should have a reverential fear of displeasing you. Because that's translated to their heavenly Father, ultimately. You see, that's the goal. That's the goal again. So anyhow, I spanked him, and then I sat down, which I always did with all my children, after I'm done spanking them. I hug them. I tell them I love them. I say, "Now, do you know why Daddy spanked you? Do you remember why Dad?" "Yeah, because of this." "Okay, honey, you need to ask God to help you with this. But before you do that, you need to go, if you know, they did something wrong, like said something wrong or disobeyed their mom, or if they disobeyed or you know, not disobeyed, but were unkind to their sister, brother, or somebody else, then I would say you need to go to them and ask for forgiveness first, and then come back up here and Daddy will pray with you." You're saying, "Man, that's a lot of time." It is. But time, it takes time to teach. Okay? It takes time. You see, that's training. And it's meaningful, biblical, loving training. If you ever asked, I think, any of my kids, and you're free to do this, "Hey, why did Daddy spank you?" Even when they were young, if you'd ask them, why does your dad spank you? They would say, "Because he loves me. Not because he's angry at me. Not because I ticked him off. But because he loves me." Then after they go ask for forgiveness from that person that they wronged, they come back up. We pray. I hug them. They ask. I encourage them. I say, "You need to pray and ask the Lord now to forgive you." And they ask for God's forgiveness. And then they ask God to help them be obedient and not do this in the future. And you know what? It's done with the utmost of love. That's the key, folks. It's got to be loving. It's the correction to get them back on track, to keep them from walking off the path. And if you do it this way, it yields the peaceable fruit. In other words, it's going to have its impact and bring right responses. Okay? Now listen, another thing, when it comes to the spanking, how many swats do I get? Enough to cause grief. And you got it. I think it's according to offense as well, according to the crime. For example, you know, if you're driving a car and you go a little bit over the yellow line into the oncoming traffic, you know, with the car coming the other way, you correct a little bit, okay? You don't correct. It just takes a little turn of the wheel to get you back on. If you go all the way in the other lane and you are full blown in the wrong way on the wrong, then it takes a little more radical correction. If you end up on the other side in the second lane up, then it takes a little more radical correction. It all depends on the seriousness of the crime. In other words, the spilled milk while dancing on the table is not equal to your son or your daughter taking the scissors and cutting the hair in the ear or something of one of your children. Hey, taking a sharp thing in their hand, you know, they know better. That's got to be more, you know, severe in the correction than just, you know, the person that danced on the table and spilt the milk. Because they took scissors, they know they're not, again, clarity, they know they're not supposed to have scissors. They took them and potentially, you know, could have harmed done bodily harm greatly to this child. So you've got to do so, again, lovingly, not, oh, you get upset, I'm going to, you know, I mean, it's got to be, you've got to calm down first of all, because when you take the scissors out of their hands and the blood's all over, you like freak out and you want to just, you know, wreak vengeance on them. And that's where you need to pray and say, God, help me. I don't want to do that. Confine those spankings to that pillowy flesh on their backside, okay? You don't want to be above. You don't want to hit their spine. Okay, that's abuse. You don't want to hit the back of their legs. You want to stay right on target there. That's why a spoon is good, better than a belt. Or a ping pong paddle. Some people use a ping pong paddle. Rarely use your hand, only if absolutely necessary, because of two things. It's not very good at stinging. Okay, all you want to do is sting. You don't want to inflict damage. Okay. And the problem with your hand is it's kind of soft itself. And so you bring it and you know, you got to hit them pretty hard for it to sting. And you could actually hurt them more if you hit them with your hand by way of damaging them than you can with the spoon or, you know, some kind of a ruler or something of that nature. You know, just that sting. I remember, man, my dad, just that sting of fire. You get a little switch off a tree. Especially my grandpa, man, they had this weeping willow tree out back. Oh, man, baby, those things. Wow. And he would go out back there and he'd cut one of those things off. Big, strong farmer, you know, behind a rototiller, just a strong guy. And man, when he'd let me have, woo! That weeping willow branch lit you up, man. It's, ah! And that's the purpose, to bring grief, to bring a little bit of hell, if you would. The consequence of their disobedient right here. Why? So that they learn how to make right, godly decisions, so that they learn self-discipline. You see, that's your motive. So they learn how the Lord wants them to live and what He wants them to do. But it's got to cause grief. And that's key. That's important. The rod and reproof both have to be brought together for it to be called biblical discipline. So things we need to be certain of, and then I'll close. First, we need to be certain that they understand what they did wrong. Secondly, we need to bring them under the authority of God's word. You see, it's the Lord's authority. It's in His love that this is done. A third, it's good to give them time to evaluate, especially when they get a little older, to evaluate before God what they think the Scripture teaches. In other words, what'd you do wrong? Do you know what the Bible says? Important that we begin to teach them. And sometimes you'll find there's one particular area that they always kind of tend to struggle with, like you. So don't get into this. Why do you always knock that stuff off? Look in the mirror and you'll find out. Okay? Listen, they don't need the big old long why do you always and you always and, you know, I can't believe you. And then your brother never, and knock that stuff off. None of that has anything to do. And it is unloving and it is abusive. It's wrong. Okay? Deal with the issue at hand and then ask them, so, okay, you did this, so what's the Scripture say? What's God's Word say about this, honey? And help them to think through it. And help them to recognize that, hey, he needs correction. And then to know that, listen, Dad's not doing this because... Please don't spank me. I've had my kids say that. Please, Daddy, are you going to spank me? Please don't spank me. I know I did this wrong. I know I did. You know what, honey? Do I have a choice? I either obey God or I don't. Do you want me to disobey God? No. Okay. Then I'm going to spank you. I love you. But God is the one that has given me this authority. And then... you know, again, hug them, love them, and explain to them what they ought to do and pray with them. So important that we never spank them out of hostility. But we do so and correct them lovingly and biblically and consistently. And you know what? Teach them to obey quickly. For those of you that are on the like count thing, one... that drives me crazy. I'm sorry. I love you. But one, two, three. You know what you're teaching them? One, when you first say it, they don't have to obey. Until they get a certain place on a count, you're not going to do anything. So you teach them slow obedience, which we always called in our home disobedience. Why do I always have to yell at them? You don't have to. If you have to, it's because you've taught them that yelling, until you're yelling, nothing is going to happen by way of pain or consequence. Why do I always have to nag you? Hey, if you're saying that, you're failing as a parent because you're not immediately, after you tell them respectfully and lovingly, hey, honey, listen, I'll tell you, and there's time to time where you give them warning, okay? There's time to time where they may have a friend over and you, honey, now mom just told you a few minutes ago to clean your room and you haven't started yet. You need to get with it because next time mom's going to spank you. Now, when you say that, listen, you got to follow through. You can't like, one more time. Well, then they realize, oh, there's one more time and that you don't mean anything, that you're going to do nothing. And so there's slow obedience. And folks, that's disobedience. You need to teach them to obey quickly. And I'll give you an example, and I got to close because we run out of time. But here's how it can be helpful. We had our daughter, Jacqueline, first child, getting off the bus once, right across the street. We were parked in a car. She got off the bus, and the bus's lights and everything were on. She walked out to walk across the street to us. We saw a car who was coming who did not see the lights or whatever. He did not stop. And my wife said, Jacqueline, stop! And she immediately stopped. And a car went whizzing by that could have taken her life. Listen, immediate obedience, if you teach them that, it can save their lives, that your days may be long on the earth. May God help us to have the courage to correct our children lovingly, to discipline them and spank them, not when we're angry, but to spank them lovingly and then to bring to bear on them God's authority. Let's pray.